Welcome to SILRAP Podcasts. You are about to listen to a service of the Center for International Law Research and Policy.
Hello, everyone. I'm grateful to the organizers of this event. You know, I arrived just this morning. I've been flying for about 15 hours, barely sleeping, thinking about you guys. Before I start the presentation, I'll say a few words that are related to my paper. First of all, I want to say that I'm happy to be the last person to speak, so I can keep appearing in your dreams many years to come. Secondly, for the purpose of this gathering only, unity is not something that you just understand. It's actually something that happens to you. So before I now go into the paper, the last thing I'm going to say is with regards to the way we try to solve problems in our world together, the way we try to analyze the things that go on with us, trying to understand the human problems. What I discovered is that we are concerned more with the problems and the solutions. And more recently, we have to look into prevention, which is very good. But there's something that we always forget to look into, and that is the roots. And so most of what I'm going to talk about is talking mainly about roots. And by the time I start to go further into the deeper, you will understand what I mean by that. As you can see, the title of my paper is Communitarianism and Unity, Forging a Modern African Perspective on Unity as a Collective Legal Group in International Criminal Law. And my outline, I will briefly mention rationale behind ICL, then I will go into unity and collectiveness in communitarianism. Then I will propose a new communitarianism. And then I will talk about unity as a collective legal group, and then I will have my concluding remarks. As most writers would always make reference to the rationale behind criminal law, we are told that the reason why we have criminal law is so that we can live peacefully together and there can be order in society amongst people. Essentially, and it's therefore not far-fetched to realize that for international criminal law, the rationale obviously should be for countries and nations to live together peacefully and to bring about peace and order. This still talks about my outline, but in more details. My part two will talk about communitarianism, and I'll make reference to Menkiti and Mbiti, who are African philosophers from Ghana and Nigeria. And I will also talk about individualism. I will make a brief mention of the Singaporean version of communitarianism, and then I will talk about the root of the divide between the West and Africa. Then we'll talk about neo-communitarianism again. And then I try to explain to you what I actually mean by that. Then I will talk about crossing communities, which is essentially migration. And I'm happy that Professor Bertimo made reference to something that most of us that we are here today, we do actually see ourselves more like global citizens. And maybe that, to some extent, is one of the reasons why we're all here today. And finally, I will then talk about unity as a collective legal group. And I'll talk about international law, its role, the United Nations, very briefly, and then I will have my concluding remarks. Okay, so in Africa, in most African societies, personhood and community is something that has been emphasized over and over again, and we make reference to a person, that a person comes from their society, their community, you cannot really put them apart. Which essentially means that you have a community, and most of the time you have to adapt to everything that is being done in that community. So that if you try to stand out, you probably be seen as a rebel or you be stigmatized. That is a negative way to look at it. The more positive way to look at it is that the community is a very has a very supportive system. So that when you have a child, when you get married, when you go to school, when you decide you want to start a business, you have a community that's already there waiting to guide you, to help you. Essentially, that is what communitarianism is about. I'm going to tell you about the downfall with regards to that. I'm making reference to something in my language here that says, Eniola Shomi simply means my clothes are my people. It's a very common saying. When you are in a place and you want to thank people for helping you or for being there for you, you tell them, you all are my clothes. Which means without you, I'll be naked. I will be like a mad person on the street. So, I want to make quick reference to individualism in African communities. Contrary to how the African philosophers try to make it seem like communities are all that we have in African society and probably also in the Asian community, you discover that you also have individualism. You have people that try to find their own ways without following the norms of the society or the community that they are in. In a lot of cases, those kind of people get ridiculed. But sometimes after they have found a way that's a bit different from what the community is familiar with, then they get to be celebrated.
Okay. No problem. Okay, so I'm now going to talk about individualism. According to Berg, I read a lot of things that he said. He seemed very angry, though. He talked about how the African philosophers romanticize communitarianism and how they talk about communities and how he doesn't think all those things are good stuff. But he made a lot of valid points. And when my final paper comes, you'll be able to see some of the points that he made. Because if I start going into them, we'll be here all day. But one thing I would like to make reference to, that he said that most of the African philosophers only talked about communitarianism from the perspective of men and how it favored them. So essentially, the average community has a lot of things that benefit the man from the time he's young up until the time that he's old. And then he now made reference to a lot of African feminists from their novels. And then he was able to come to the conclusion that communitarianism, as presented by the African philosophers, was not as sweet and as wonderful as they like to present it. Okay, so he talked about individualism. And he talked about how important it was for people to develop and to have particular rights. Later in the paper, I'm going to talk about human rights and how it's related to all of this. I'm going to connect it. Okay, so I'm asking here that what are the limits of individual rights? We all love to have our individual rights. For instance, I like to travel to talk like this in conferences. And I like to also go for gatherings and meet people. But in my family, that seems like something that is strange because no one else is interested in something like that. So, but with your individual rights, as you stretch it, the time where it becomes a problem to other people is not necessarily the time when they tell you they don't like it. It becomes a problem when you discover that it's causing them a direct harm. I know that, like he said, we're from the common law jurisdiction, we like to make reference to harm a lot. But when the individual right endangers human dignity, peace, and security, then there might be a problem. Okay, I'm going to make reference again now to communitarianism and individualism and why it is important for us to realize that the two of them standing separately by themselves is not really what we need. And that's the reason why I said I'm going to talk to you about the roots. Most of us that were in this room, we have our dreams and aspirations of what we want out of life. And also we believe in certain goals and values. The whole idea of unity is when we bring best practices together. And one of the rationale behind international law, international criminal law, is there is a conscious effort to create best practices. If you look at the fact that we have inquisitorial system, we have adversarial system in international criminal law, if you look at the UN Charter, which I will still go into later, you discover that you find features of individualism and features of communitarianism. I will go into it much later. In the Singaporean communitarianism, they focus a lot on economic independence. The writers that I read, they were kind of offended that people look at their society as being communitarian, because for them, they imagine that communitarianism has something to do with socialism. So they focused more on the fact that individuals are allowed to achieve, to do anything that they want to do. But they also now made reference to the fact that smaller units in the families or smaller communities are also very important. The reason why I made reference to the Singaporean communitarianism is because it's a bit unique, and because a lot of the writers were trying very much to be frank and to tell you exactly what's going on in their society, rather than fantasize or romanticize something that doesn't really exist. Okay, now to the Western, an African divide. And this is where I make reference to human rights. All of us here, or most of us, we went to, in the university we were taught about first generation, second generation, third generation, fourth generation human rights. I'm going to make reference especially now to the first and second, and how it affects communitarianism and individualism. Okay, so the civil and political rights are the first generation, and it relates to individualism because it affects you directly as a person, not necessarily as a community. Even though I'm of the opinion that at the end of the day, there is no much difference from a community and a person, but I would explain to you in my conclusion why I said that. So there has always been this difference and this extreme ideas of how my system is better, your system is not good, and which takes me back to unity again. Unity is about best practices coming together. And of course, we wouldn't forget that there is a saying that all human rights are said to be universal, indivisible, interdependent, and interrelated. Okay, so I'm moving very fast because my slides are 17, and I think I'm just on the eighth one. The concept of communitarianism, like I've been saying, includes just people that conform to the society, so to speak. So that if you are having ideas that are different, your movement in the line would not be as fast as people that have conformed. And what I realized is that it's not especially particular only to African or Asian communities. You have it also in the West, in Europe and other places. There are certain norms or certain things that if you do it, it helps you to move faster in the lane of things. And if you are the kind of person that you decide not to follow that particular path, it will make things a bit slower for you. My recommendation with regards to this unity and communitarianism is because communities have this illusion that they are united. Illusion in inverted comma. I'm just saying that to you so you can reflect about it. So they feel like they are united, and if you're not part of the community, they find a way to exclude you. So that's somewhat kind of like separatism. All this is relevant to international criminal law. Why? Because at the end of the day, a lot of crimes are being committed, crimes against humanity, genocide, war crimes. And what are the reasons why these crimes are so part of our nature? Because we think we are different. I look at you and I'm thinking, oh, this person has this kind of hair, or this person is tall, this person is old. Oh, no, I'm different. So that's one of the reasons why we have some of these problems. And remember, I told you my paper is going to focus more on roots rather than prevention and solution. So it's for you to think about it and dream about me when you get home. And also, of course, for further research. Okay, so now to the main cost mill, neo-communitarianism. I'm sure that other people have come up with these ideas, and it sometimes will seem like a very romantic movie. What do you mean? We should unite. What does that mean? It's more than uniting. Like let all of us unite in this room. No, it is seeing that we're the same. It's so weird. You remember in the beginning I told you that unity is not exactly something that you just understand. It's something that happens to you. If I look at every one of you in this room right now, I see myself. That is essentially what unity is about. So if you are the kind of person that, okay, I'm sure we are all old enough. Nobody bedwets here. You know, you guys know what it means to bedwet. Young children, they bedwet, right? If you see someone that is young and you see the person that bedwets, you see yourself in that person. Not necessarily that you bedwetted when you were young. If someone is crying or someone is having something wrong with them, you see yourself in that person. If someone steals, if someone does something that you can never imagine that you could ever do, unity, the way it works, you see yourself in them. And that brings me somewhat to what the judge talked about, reconciliation. I'm going to go further into it. I feel like I'm jumping. But reconciliation cannot happen without unity. Let me explain to you the reason why. If you see someone as the same as you, it's easier for you to reconcile with them. But if you see that that person, if you believe that that person is different from you, you are never going to reconcile. You won't reconcile because you'll be like, this person is so different and there is no point, there is no need, there is no hope. And that is why I personally think, it's just my opinion now, I haven't seen any other writer that came up with that idea. Unity, as much as we think that it's a new concept, has always been in our international law paradigm, the framework. This is still a repetition of what I've just said. Now, going to crossing communities. One of the major attributes of communitarianism is rights and duties. If, for instance, I'm here now in India, I cannot behave like I'm in Nigeria. Why? Because they have a different value system. So there are some things that might not be that might not be liked here. So I need to understand the system in order to enjoy rights. So that's one of the reasons why... I have 5 minutes more. That's one of the reasons why migration, which we cannot avoid, is one of the things that are also related to international criminal law. And if we hold tightly to unity, as I've explained it, even though it seems very abstract, because it is abstract, just as humanity is still, being discussed and being researched. So it is important for us to see ourselves as the same. Okay, proposing unity as a collective legal good for international criminal law. What I said with regards to reconciliation, I've repeated here now. You can see it. It's easier for you to reconcile with someone. It's easier for you to see someone has to see human dignity, to see humanness in someone if you look them in the eye and you know that their pain is yours. It sounds like empathy, but it's actually something more than that. It's unity. Okay. So that explained the sense of humanity is when a person does things out of their human nature, such as being courteous, being nice. But unity goes further. Unity connotes something deeper. It is something one does to protect family. I don't know you. I don't know any one of you here, but you're my family. The only person I know is Professor Bergsmo, because I've spoken to him on phone twice. So that is what unity essentially is about. And like I said here, unity is opposite of separatism. Once you know you cannot separate yourself from anyone else in this room, anyone else in the world, then you are beginning to understand what unity is about. I talked about the purpose of international law in uniting and how unity is already there. It's just, it's slow. It's like on a slow motion, but we're going there. And then I talked about how United Nations is somewhat like a model. This is trying to forget the fact that a lot of members of Security Council don't want to join the ICC. But the United Nations model and what is going on with the ICC shows the importance of how we are coming together to see that our problems are the same. Our problems are the same because we are the same. Then I talked about communitarianism in the UN Charter and individualism. In the UN Charter, member states are expected to do certain things. Then they will get certain rights. That's how communitarianism works. And the UN Charter also recognizes that each member state is an individual sovereign state. They allow them to do what they want to do. So, are you beginning to understand what I'm saying? How unity is already there, but we're just shying away from, we're just pretending like, no, I can't see it. I can't see it. So, my concluding remarks. The usual legal goods sought to be protected under international criminal law are hard to pinpoint. They're not hard to pinpoint. But they are more of preventive abstracts. We've been talking here all day. We're telling ourselves how we want to do this, how we want to do that, how we want this to be. But in actual fact, we are not looking at the roots. And that is what essentially what unity can help us do. Unity would help us look at the roots of things, how we can come together despite our diversity. So, with unity as a legal good, it becomes more apparent that when you hurt one human being, you have hurt an entire unit, the whole humankind. It hurts everywhere. Whether we are there or not, we're all affected. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. For more open access audio recordings, films, and publications, go to silrap.org.